Jude, and let's stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to begin to read at verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam, for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds and trees, whose fruit withereth, and without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Father, thank you again today for the precious Bible, the Word of God. This preacher needs you. I ask you, please, Father, to help me as I preach this message. Lord, that it'll be an honor to you and a help to the people. And so we just ask your blessings upon it. Use it, Father, for your good. And help this preacher as he preaches tonight. Help Jerry also, Lord, preaching somewhere tonight. Just blessing, helping, encouraging, and empowering. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You know, I'm sure that what I'm going to say you already know, but Jesus is coming again. And I think it may be soon. I just really feel that in my heart. Of course, I felt that for quite some time, and I feel it every day that I get up. I'm looking for him. I seen Enoch here said clear back in his days, seventh from Adam, and he said, Behold, the Lord cometh. He was looking forward way back there. The Lord's coming. And so I'm just continuing that. And it comforts me to know that Jesus is coming. It honestly and earnestly does. Get up of a morning and think about it. And in my heart and think about, well, Jesus could come today. Don't know for sure when he's coming, but I know he's coming soon. And I get excited about it. It helps me get through the day. Gives me strength for the day to know that Jesus could come. What we're going to do this evening is we're going to try to look at three different individuals, Old Testament individuals, that give us some aspect at the look of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're just going to kind of take three people. We're going to look at Enoch, and we're going to look at Noah, and we're going to look at Lot, and look at what it says to us today about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many places in the Bible that refer to the second coming. It would be a foolish thing. I don't know how people can even state that they don't believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ. It's all through the Bible. It's presented constantly through the Bible. Jesus, one of these days, is going to come secretly as far as the world is concerned. You understand this. We call it the rapture. He's going to come. He's going to call his church home. Those born-again believers. Amen. Every born-again believer across this world that's alive that day will go with Jesus Christ in the air. He'll call them up to be with him. We also know that he's going to come very publicly at the end of the tribulation period. Coming a time when he's going to come to judge. And I think that is what Enoch is referring to here when he speaks, because right after he talks about the Lord cometh, he also says he's coming to execute judgment. And at that day, he's going to come, and this world is going to be judged for all of their ungodliness. Those who stood against the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be judged public place. But I'm looking for His rapture. I'm not looking for that judgment. I'm looking for Him to come to take us home. Amen. To lift us off of this earth and to be with Him forevermore. So what I want to do is look at Enoch for a few moments. As we see here, he said, I'm going to read verse 14 and 15 once again. He says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints to execute judgment." Why is He coming? To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. We find here that Enoch lived in a time of great sin. This is important for us today. We need to understand, because sometimes we refer to these things and we want to say, it's just too hard today. It's just too difficult. It's a wicked time, and it is a wicked time. But folks, I want to tell you, Enoch lived in that time also. And he lived in a time of great wickedness. He lived in a time when there was great violence and lawlessness. He lived in a time when people did not want to hear about God, as we will see in just a moment. And he lived in a civilization that was founded by Cain after he murdered his brother. He lived in that kind of civilization, a time when there was a desire for gratification of the flesh, just like it is today. Whether we understand it or not, whether you realize it, whether you understand what's going on, mainly the world lives for gratification of the flesh. That's what it's out here for. That's all it desires, is what can I do to make my flesh enjoy life more. That's what was going on even in Enoch's day. And yet Enoch walked apart from that. You see, we can live in a wicked, wicked, filthy world and still walk apart from it. We do not have to be a part of it. Amen? That's important. Enoch was not a part of it. He walked, the Bible says, he walked with God. And I want to show you that even though he was not a part of it, he didn't just keep his mouth shut. He stood aggressively against it. This is important, folks. We can walk in this world and say, well, okay, it's wicked and we're going to do our best to be as a Christian and walk as a Christian, but we need to aggressively speak against it. That's what Enoch did. He pronounced judgment upon it. We've got to do that same thing. Why does people want to get saved if there's nothing coming, no judgment coming? You know, so what? You know, if we're just going on in life and things are bad, and no, we need to cause them to realize there is judgment coming, and there is judgment coming. Amen. It is coming. You see, Enoch back here proclaimed that, prophesied that judgment is coming, and yet he was in a day of great wickedness. I'm going to go back to the book of Genesis just a few moments and skip a little bit in the verses, but I'm going to go back to chapter 5 of Genesis, and I'm going to just read a few verses to you to kind of catch us up on Enoch. If you'll notice in verse 18 of chapter 5 of Genesis, he says, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch." I'm going to skip down to verse 21. "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah." 24th verse. "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." I think you understand that here was Enoch walked with God, and God just took him. Doesn't say he died. God just took him. It's a picture of the rapture. It's what's going to happen to us, you see, that are alive at the time when Jesus comes. We're not going to die physically like that. We'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. It's what the Bible says, and we'll be caught up to be with the Lord forever. That's what happened to Enoch. He was a picture of the rapture of the church. And then he says in verse 25, "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech." And verse 28, "And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah." We find Noah here in the Bible. Now, listen, folks. Noah lived also in a wicked, terrible time. I'm just going to read one more verse back here in Genesis, but in chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." These men that we're talking about tonight absolutely lived in a time of great wickedness. We may feel like we are too, but folks, they lived in a time of great wickedness, and yet Noah and Enoch walked with God. That's important for us. We've got to understand it. They stood against the wickedness of their day. We have got to stand against the wickedness of this day. God has put us here for that reason, you see. And so we find, and let me say to you here, Noah was Enoch's great-grandson. Not too far down the line, I have the privilege of having a great-granddaughter. Amen? See, that's not too far down the line. Now, I realize the years was a lot different then. There's a lot more years passed. But let me say to you, that wasn't too far down the line. You see, and we find that God then said, this is a wicked generation. This is a terrible place. The imaginations of their heart are continually wicked. You see what I'm saying? So let's not use the excuse that we are living at a time and we can't get anything done or we can't walk with God because of wickedness. That's not true. And so I want to look for just a few moments at the church and why the church was put here. The church, you see, God has put the church here almost like Enoch was here to be set up as an example of what God would do to wickedness. And Enoch here being raptured, like I would call it, raptured out, we also are going to be raptured out. We've got to stand against wickedness. We've got to, you see. And we've got to refuse to walk with this wickedness. We've got to stand with the Lord like Enoch did and condemn it. You see, the church is not here to make human nature better. You can't make human nature better. It needs Christ. We've got this mistaken idea because of the social activities of most churches that that's what the church is here for. We're here to just try to make things better in our community. That is not what God put the church here for. You see, the church is not here to make the world better to live in. See, oh, Brother Ross. No. God did not put the church here to make the world better to live in. It will be better to live in if we get people saved. But He didn't put us here to make this world better to live in. He put us here to get people saved, born again. The world is a wicked place, and it's controlled by Satan. He's the God of this world. Amen? So God didn't say, now you go down there and you make the world better. No. That's not why the church was put here. You see, the church means a separated, called out from the world. We have got to be different than the world is. You understand? You see? The world system today is contrary to the Bible. Absolutely contrary to the Bible, you see. The church is to walk with God so that the world can see it. You see, if you go back and you look at this thing, how God placed the Jews in that land over there in the land that He gave them. He didn't just place them there as just a place for them to live. He placed them there and surrounded by the world. And they were supposed to be a testimony to the goodness and grace of God Almighty. They used to be a testimony to that world around them. And you and I both know, if you know your Bibles, what happened. They become like the world. They did not remain a testimony to the world. They become like the world and gathered in, began to worship the same gods that the world worshiped. And then God came along later on in the time of Jesus Christ, and He placed the church in this old world. He put it here as a testimony to the world. This local church here is not just a place to be here so that we could become like the world. We've got to be different than the world. That's why God put us here. We're a church. God wants us to be different than the world out there. Amen? See, that's why God placed the church in a community. And you look around, and I'm just saying to you, I'm not picking on any churches. I'm just saying to you, any church that God has established, it was established to be a lighthouse to the world around it. And what has happened? Well, we've done the same thing as the church did. As the Jews did. Instead, the church today has become like the world. Instead of we drawing the world to the church, no, we become like the world. We act just like the world acts. Folks, this ought to be awakening. We ought to realize God didn't put us here to be like the world, but so the world could see the grace of God in our lives and be different, so that they'd be saved and born into the family of God. God done the same thing with the individual Christian. Why did He place you in the community where you are living? Why did He place you in the neighborhood where you are living? It was not just so that you could join in with that neighborhood and be like them. It was so you could be different as a testimony to the grace of God, what God has done for you in your life. So what have the most Christians done? Well, they just simply joined in and they become just like the world. They act like the world, they talk like the world, they dress like the world, they do everything like the world, and so there's no difference. That's not why God put us here. See, we have got to be different than the world. Amen? And so we find here that Enoch was a man who was not afraid to be different. He came and he pronounced judgment. He prophesied and pronounced judgment on all the wicked doers. Folks, we've got to make people understand in our community and those around us, there's a judgment coming. There is a judgment coming. And they need to realize that they need Christ as their Savior. And they're not going to realize that if they don't see anything different out of us than they see out of the world. And mainly, that's what you see. You know, I believe multitudes of churches across this nation was established for the right purpose. Well, I believe that with all my heart. We went out on the East Coast. We was out there and we saw multitudes of Methodist churches out there that I was told was established by Asbury. I think his name was Asbury. Established by him. Good churches, great churches, winning people to Christ. But you go out there now and none of those churches are still preaching the gospel. They're not preaching the gospel. I want to tell you that I won't remember his name. That when he was down there in Cambridge and he came through and he was on his boat, brought his family. You remember the name? That's all right. He brought his family. I can't remember either, honey. Yeah. But he brought his boat and he said, "I'm going to go up this whole coast till I find the truth." And he came up that whole coast. He stopped at Cambridge, a little old church there we had, and he found the truth of the gospel. And he got saved, him, his wife, his son, and his daughter, which was teenagers. And here's what he told me. "I've been in church after church after church, and I couldn't find the truth." I'm just saying to you, folks, that is evident across this nation. I know there's good churches out there. I know that. Thank God for them, that are preaching the gospel, but there's multitudes and multitudes of churches that are not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've become just like the world. Amen? So I'm saying to you, listen, Enoch, we need to look at him and his example. Here he is, example of the rapture. Folks, we are looking forward to the rapture of the church. And we need to stand against wickedness. Jesus is coming soon. And we need to prophesy. And I'm talking about prophesying. I'm talking about preaching the truth of God's Word. And stand against the wickedness that's going on, just like Enoch did. For Jesus is coming. You know, you may be a scoffer. You may sit out there and say, "Oh, it's been like this since the beginning of time." I just want to tell you something. You're fulfilling prophecy. Because Jesus Christ is coming. And he said there would be scoffers that would not believe about his coming. I want to also look at Noah for a few moments. He was, the Bible says, was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, Noah strove with men and preached concerning the word of God and warned them of judgment to come while he was building an ark. Noah did this, a man of God, in great wickedness, great grandson of Enoch. And the Bible says that every imagination of the heart was wicked. That was God's proclamation for them. Understand? So what I'm saying to you is, in the midst of all of this, he was building an ark for the saving of his house. He was busy about doing that because God had instructed him to do that. The ark was a warning to those around him that God was going to judge the world. It was a warning. That's what it was put there for, as a warning, and at the same time inviting them in to the ark, inviting them into the place of safety. But the ark was a warning that God was going to judge this world. Amen. At the same time, he left the door of invitation open. I'm sure, I don't know all about it. I know that only a few got onto the ark, but I'm sure he left the invitation open to join them in the ark. But I'm saying to you, in the midst of all of this that was going on, we find that people would not receive it. They would not believe it. Then we find pretty soon here Noah was called, him and his family was called into the ark, and God closed the door. Now what I'm saying to you is this. I can almost hear the laughter, the mocking that these people did of that day, laughing at this man called Noah and his family, saying, you know what, those crazy people just got on that monstrous whatever it was. They got on it. They went in. I'm sure they laughed at him over and over and over. But you and I know that 7 days later, heavens opened and poured rain upon this earth. The fountains beneath gushed forth and flooded this earth. What I'm saying to you is, do you not understand that the church is like Noah and in his day? The church is put here as a warning of judgment of God upon this earth. Do you know we're the only hope? Do you understand the message that we have is the only hope people have? The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ is it. There is no other message. There is no other hope. And the church is a warning to people that they need to be born again. They need Christ. This church should always be bringing forth the truth of the Word of God, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only way of heaven. For there is no other way. That no matter how you were first born, you must be born again. My sister reminded me, we was down to see her in the hospital the other day, and she's doing fairly well, and she said, Bobby, I still remember. She calls me Bobby. They all do that. You don't. But she calls me Bobby. Said, Bobby, she said, I remember you saying in one of your sermons there at a funeral, said, you know, you must have two birthdays. She remembered that. I want to tell you something. You got to have two birthdays. You're going to be born once, but you must be born again. And that should be the message of the church. You must be born again. You see, and the church should always put forth that message. I wish I knew. I don't know. But I want to tell you right now, the churches I know that my wife and I has visited, we visited them on the East Coast. We went in on purpose to see what they're preaching. And I want to tell you right now, I did not hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know whatever church around here does, but I've got a funny feeling that when you don't see people saved in these churches, born again, come to Christ, somewhere the gospel is not getting preached. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the church was put here for. Church is just not something for people to look out and think how beautiful and pretty it is, and isn't that a nice place that I can go once in a while and get a loaf of bread or a basket of groceries, which is fine. We want to do that. But that's not the real purpose of the church. It's to bring people to Christ. You see, that's what and much of the church today is so social. It's become a social place. That's not what God put us here for. He put us here as a testimony and a witness to the folks of this community that judgment is absolutely coming. Every building that we build, every bus that we send out on a route every Sunday morning, every changed life is a testimony to the goodness of God Almighty. And they need, and this community needs to realize, as they drive by this place, not that that is a nice looking church, but that's a place where the gospel is preached. That's a place that warns people about a devil's hell. Because that's why God put us here for. He didn't put us here for social reasons. No, He didn't. He put us here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring people to Christ. And part of our ministries, we may do some social things. We may try to help people and be a blessing. But that's not the real purpose for the church. And we got to realize that Noah's purpose was to build an ark for the saving of his family. And this is why a church is here. For the saving of people's souls, that they might come to Jesus Christ, you see. That we ought to cry aloud that men must flee from the wrath of God. This church ought to be a testimony of that, you see. Most times you drive by a church and you look at it and there's no testimony to that. Folks, I'm serious about that. I think when we have revival meetings, I think when we have services, things ought to happen in those revival meetings and in those services that make a statement to this community. People are getting saved out there, and thank God they are. People are getting saved, born again, you see. That's what ought to be the testimony, not that we had a soup supper. Amen? That's not what it's all about. No, that people are getting saved, born again, you see. I think we ought to be a flag waving, that when people go by, they see and realize that judgment is coming. They ought to look with fear upon the church, not just, isn't that a nice place? You know, there's a little booklet that John R. Rice put out, and I can't remember the name of it, but I remember the picture on the front of it. John R. Rice, one of these little pamphlets, and it showed a man who was in a boat, and he was floating down the river or stream, whatever it was, and in the back of him, his back was to it, in back of him was a waterfall, a great big waterfall. And there was somebody over on the side of the bank with a bullhorn crying out and warning him. And he was just laying back in this boat, not realizing that he was going to toward that waterfall and was going to go over it very soon. What a picture. And you know what? We ought to be like that man on the side crying out with a bullhorn, warning him what's coming. That's what the church is for. What good would it do for us to meet today and come in and just have a good old time and no gospel preached or nothing told us about the Word of God that would help us to be better for God? What good would that do? No, the church is not here for that reason. The church is here to proclaim the Word of God and to cry out with a bullhorn if necessary that judgment is coming. You're headed for hell. Amen? And if you don't get saved, that's where you're going. We need to, the church needs to do that, you see. And you see, at the same time, the church should always, always have the open door of invitation to those to come to Christ and be saved. We ought to always keep that door open and invite people in to hear the Word of God. Amen. They're welcome here to hear the Word of God. We're not condemning the sinner. We want them to be saved. But we want them to hear a message that says judgment is coming if you don't get saved. You see, we want that in our church, you see. And through Jesus, and Jesus alone, can you flee the wrath to come. You see, that's what Noah was doing with his ark. He was warning people with the building of that ark, you see. And I believe something. I believe someday soon that Jesus is going to call us to that place that He's prepared for us. Just like He shut the door in the ark and He brought them on and shut the door, He's going to call us home and shut the door to this place of safety for His church. Amen. And we want to take as many with Him as we can, with us we can. Amen. Now I want to look also for a few moments at Lot. Lot was the man who looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. In fact, the Bible says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. You know the story of Lot, I'm sure. He even took some kind of an office in the city of Sodom. He sat in the gate as a man of judgment or some kind. I don't know what his position was, but he joined in with those in Sodom. Lot was a man, and yet the Bible says it vexed his righteous soul from day to day. I do not believe that Lot partook of the sin of Sodom. Do not believe that. I believe he just didn't say anything about it. He just kept his mouth shut. He didn't preach against it. You know, when you look at it, see, Sodom didn't have a Bible like we have. Sodom didn't have a preacher like we have. Sodom didn't have the Word of God like we have. Sodom didn't have Bible colleges like we have. I think we're going to be responsible. Fire fell on that place. You understand what I'm saying? You see, Lot kept his mouth shut. He didn't proclaim the gospel. He didn't warn them about judgment to come. And let me share with you what I believe. I think Lot represents the churches that has turned into places of pleasure and no preaching of the Word of God. I think them churches are all over America. And I believe it's a picture, because you see, Lot was a picture of also of the rapture. We'll look in a minute. He had to be taken out of there before God would bring judgment upon that place. Okay? And I'm saying to you that I believe that instead of doing what God wants and preaching the Word of God, they become like the world. That's what Lot did. He became exactly like those in Sodom. Maybe not partaking of the sin that they sinned, but he became like them. The Bible says it vexed his righteous soul, but he kept his mouth shut. I believe that's what's going on in many churches in America. They just keep their mouth shut. They don't preach the Word of God. They don't warn people about sin. We've got to warn people about sin. God hates sin. Amen? You see, God hates it. You see, instead of being a pilgrim and strangers in this world, we've settled down in it. We've become like it. Amen? That's not what the church was put here for. We are looking for another place. This is not our home. Amen? We're looking for that day when Jesus comes again, you see. You see, Lot had lost his spiritual testimony. He had none. He had no spiritual testimony. He lost it. His own son-in-laws, if you read it, his own son-in-laws mocked at him when he told them about judgment to come. They wouldn't even listen to him. And I say to you, and I wonder sometimes, is ours any different? What does people think when we warn them about judgment to come and they look at our life? Do they mock and say, yeah, sure, you believe all of that? Or do they see someone who's been preaching this and teaching this and living this for years and years and years? See, that's the purpose of the church. That's the purpose of the individual Christian, you see. You see, Lot represents the churches that fill their buildings with entertainment equipment to appeal to the flesh instead of the spiritual things of God. You see, we've turned into a social activity, things that the world does to try to gain people and bring people in. You see, it's become a social headquarters instead of a soul-winning headquarters. Now, I want you to check this out. You don't get to just believe this. Find out what's going on in churches around. Is there people getting saved? That's one of the first things I talk to when I talk to people. I say, I go here and there. I don't condemn that church, but one of the things I ask them is this. How long has it been since you had someone saved? Oh, yeah, I do. I ask them, how long? Well, what do you mean? Oh, I've had him say that to me. What do you mean? Well, I mean truly turned to Christ and born again. And oh, well, I don't know. How long has it been since you used your baptism? I ask him that. Oh, well, I can't remember when we baptized. What's going on, folks? What's going on? Now, this is not what the church is here for. Church is here to bring people to Christ. Amen. I think you understand that. But Lot represents, you see, that which is headquarters for social activity, not God activity. And much of the church in America, that's what it's become. You say, are you condemning any certain church? No, I'm not. I'm just simply telling you, you better check it out. You better make sure, and even Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I don't think you have any problem here. You see people saved. You see them born again. You see our preacher preaching the Word of God and feeding us with God's Word. You see that. That's what is supposed to happen in a church. Amen? It's not a social. I get so tickled when I see Jerry pick up his Bible and say, well, now this is the way we do Sunday school. And what do you think about this? You know? Do you know I've seen that for so many years? I've seen that. I mean, just like he was referring to it here. I've seen that happen in churches. You get up and say, well, what do you think about it? Oh, for crying out loud. Teach the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? You see, it isn't what I think or something. But get a preacher up and preach the Bible, the Word of God. Stir their hearts toward the Lord. Amen? You see? And so we find here that Lot, I believe, represents the church that is trying to build wood, hay, and stubble on the foundation of Christ. Amen? No, you're not to do that. You better take heed how you build on the foundation of Christ. Amen? Better do it God's way, you see. And using worldly means and fleshly methods and all of these things, trying to do that just to get people in and to hold people. Do you know you must hold people the way you get them?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. You get them by the preaching of the Word of God. You'll keep them by the preaching of the Word of God. You get them by old fleshly means and worldly means. That's where you're going to have to keep them. Amen? So that's what the church is all about. But I want to tell you something. The church, one of these days, suddenly the Lord is going to come and He's going to remove it. It's going to be gone out of here. Amen. And we want to take as many from this community and the communities around here with us. We want them to be ready to meet the Lord. One man said this, Lot was burned out of Sodom. The reason he said that was this, in 1 Corinthians 3rd chapter, he says, saved so as by fire. That's the way old Lot was not saved by, just so as by fire. You see, and he represents the church, much of the church today, you see, that has no spiritual life in it. You understand? And then, of course, he talks about the treasures. I think about treasures. Lot had no treasures built up. Listen to me, folks. Do you realize when he walked out of Sodom, he lost everything? I want to tell you just a moment. I want to just speak to you a moment. God warns us and tells us. Now, listen to what he says. To not lay up treasures on this earth. Am I lying to you? Does he say that? Does he command it? But lay up treasures in heaven. I just want to ask you, and I'll let you do the figuring out. I got to figure out for me. How many treasures do you have laid up in heaven? I'm not talking about down here. He's already commanded us not lay them up down here. Oh, I know you have to have needs of certain things. I understand all that. God knows it too. Our Heavenly Father knows we have certain needs. We have to have certain things. But how about the treasures? Now, I want you to run through your life and say, what treasures do I have laid up in heaven? I preach 9 sermons on treasures. A series of 9 sermons on treasures. But think about it. What treasures right now do you have laid up in heaven? Because that's the command of God. Amen? Now that's the command of God. I'm not saying you don't have. I'm saying you ought to take notice. You ought to take stock and see what kind of treasures we have laid up in heaven, not what we have down here. This down here don't mean a thing. Be gone in a flash. Amen? taken nothing with us. Amen? But what treasures do we have laid up in heaven? Ask yourself that question. Answer it. Be honest. God commands that we do, so what is it that we've been busy about laying up in heaven? Don't you think that would be a proper thing to do? Amen, I do too. You see, just as Lot stood between Sodom and the judgment of God, the church today stands in that same place. The church is what stands between the old wicked world and the judgment of God Almighty. We have the message. There's no one else has it. We have it right here in the Bible. We have the answer to sin. Jesus Christ's death upon the cross is the answer. And only through being born again, being saved, coming to Christ, believing that you're an old sinner, lost, hopelessly lost, and coming to Christ and receiving Him as your personal Savior, that's the only way anybody's ever going to get saved. We have that message. The world doesn't have it. And let me say to you, the liberal churches don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's exactly where Lot was. He was there in Sodom and could have made a difference. He could have preached the Word of God. He could have told them the truth about the Scriptures and warned them about judgment, but he didn't. Now I'm saying to you, oh, thank God, and I trust that this church will never be one of those churches. Never. It must always remain the church that stands for the truth of the Word of God. And I would say to you, and I would say to anybody else, if you're in a church that's not preaching the Word of God, people are not getting saved, people are not falling in baptism, I would run from that immediately. I would get out of that immediately. I would not put my time and my money and my efforts in a place that is not preaching the Bible, the Word of God. Amen? So I'm saying to you folks, listen, Enoch stood for God and preached judgment in a time when there was great wickedness. Absolutely, we must too. Noah stood and built the ark and warned and warned and warned what was coming. I believe we've got to do the same thing. And then we come down to Lot. Let's just be sure that we don't become like Lot and keep our mouths shut. Say nothing about the wickedness of our day. Let's pray. Father, again today I want to thank you for your grace, your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for who you are, the good, the wonderful, great God. Help us, O God. We're not condemning these things, Lord, but by the grace of God we'll be like them. But we need your grace, we need your help to always, always bring forth the Word of God and be a testimony and a warning against those that are doing wrong and being wicked in their ways, that judgment is coming. Help us to do that, Father, and to be faithful to it. If there's anyone here without Christ, oh God, please, let this be the day of their salvation. Let this be the time, the very day when they turn to Christ, realizing they're a sinner without hope and that Jesus is the only way. Help them to do that. Help us as Christians to make the commitment to God to be what we should be in the days before the rapture as a people warning against sin and that judgment is coming. Help us to do that. And we'll thank you so much for your grace and goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.